First cheers on recording. My friends over there have to do the cheers.
Because you're on the other side of the room. We're not in a sweaty booth this time. That's a surprise.
And we have a wonderful...
Guess who's back?
Back again.
It's Zach. Guess who's,
yeah, it's Zach.
It's Zach, yeah.
Pretty easy.
It's good to see you.
Good evening, everyone. I guess. Welcome to the...
If you're Zach.
He's here, and that's what matters. Podcast.
Is it? No, it's good to see Zach.
I'll fight you.
It's good that you've got off your uni holidays, living the dream.
Bro, you're not even a first year yet. Shut up.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's good to have uni holidays.
We love studying at uni. So, as always, welcome back to the implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss
the implications.
Pretty much everything except Phineas and Ferb at this point.
Yep. I'm Joe, you're
Zach.
What? Oh no! Pretty sure I'm Zach.
It's tradition. I never get the names right. At this point, it's a meme.
Eventually, we should get it right though. And
that'll be the last episode.
Season 2, episode 19, and we have What Do It Do and Atlantis.
Yes. Now, my first note is there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, there's quite a bit in Atlantis and also What Do It Do, both of which are pretty darn good.
I remember this episode because when we started doing our Phineas and Ferb rewatch, which was the reason that we started this podcast.
True.
Shout out to Disney Plus.
Yeah, thank you, Disney Plus.
Good times.
We started doing our Disney Plus rewatch and we were like, what's a good episode to start with? And this was the first one you said.
Yeah, because we're like, it's got Atlantis.
It's got Atlantis. Like, and that's Atlantis the sort one. Of scope that Phineas and Ferb tends to have.
Yep.
So we'll use this one as a basis.
And it was a pretty good one.
It's a damn good one. This is a great episode. I have such fond memories of this episode.
Anyway, we start with What Did It Do? And basically, I've written down the dad show's potential. And then the boys undiscover from the uncovered TV documentary program, which I kind of liked.
Undiscovery. What is it?
It's Uncovered.
Uncovered
and
channel.
So the Discovery Channel, which is good stuff. Reverse engineering, which is...
It sort of shows where Ferb could get his talent from.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I like that it shows that.
Because the dad's built this bird thingy, and he presses... Oh, shit. He presses a button, and then all these things come out for the birds, including a fountain that squirts water. And the way it was built would mean it was sideways, and the water would have to have been stored somehow, and then it
More importantly,
floats out.
It's not all fitting in there. He's...
he's bending space a little bit, and also he's made water not fall through, which is
and
very
And that
cool.
would be a skill that Phineas and Ferb would soon perfect.
and use a lot. And then Doof is on early start with Perry, and he's wanting to destroy love, but that really gets sidetracked by him building traps that he gets stuck in himself.
Yeah. Good episode, nice classic plot, real simple, but that you can't talk about this episode without talking about the star of this episode... The scene that is talked about a billion times.
By all the fans of the community of Phineas and Ferb.
All the fans, this is the one crazy that they fan point theories. To. This is the one they point to where they say that Doofenshmirtz is Phineas's dad because Doofenshmirtz and Linda went on a date when
they
were in their 20s.
They did go on a date. They went into a drive.
Did you not watch that? There is no way she was touching that.
Yeah, exactly.
He was horrible.
She sat in
on
the boot
date.
With his dirty old socks.
The drive-ins are well known through the... Community is where you go to just have
censorship.
It's our Netflix and chill. If you didn't know that,
yep, 100%.
Our Netflix and chill was a
not that we really Netflix and chill rip us.
I don't know who you're talking about here, Zach. you'd have to have a Netflix account. No,
I don't subscribe to this theory, partially because I know Dan Povemeyer doesn't subscribe to
well,
this theory.
Well, Dan obviously made the series and he said wholeheartedly. That Doof is not Phineas's father. Mm. As a fan, I do like the concept.
I like
that Doof
a theory.
Is Phineas's father just because that like gives him some sort of like you can see it in the bloodline.
Yeah,
their ability to.
And
create.
I like a good theory like that, but for now at least, this ain't Star Wars, and
yeah, you don't.
Not
need...
everything needs to be predestiny, as you know. Because of my rants I've had about The Last Jedi, I'm a fan of a story where it turns out that it's not some predestined family thing and it's just, it's who you are and you're
and
not
also,
defined by the people around you.
By having it, it undercuts the more, like, lesser toned things where it is that he doesn't need to have his father. He's got his father-in-law or whatever.
Someone else who doesn't need to have their father.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I like, as a person, as a single, like, being raised by a single parent, I love to subscribe to the fact that he doesn't need his biological father.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good. That's a good story. It's such a good message to have in a show.
Especially one aimed at young kids.
Yeah.
Because what's the statistic? So like 40% of kids are in a house or something.
It's something insane that marriages fail. It's insane.
Why don't people just start marrying the right people?
Why do people get married?
You've cracked it on the head there. Stop marrying the wrong person. Marry the one for you. That's what everyone else...
Everyone's sitting there and they're like, well, you know, we're going to break up in a year or two, but I'm still going to marry.
I wish I thought of that. They're hitting themselves silly now. After they've heard Zach.
I've just blown everyone out of the water. Like, this is some next-gen stuff, 100%.
This is utopia-level stuff. I can't believe anyone didn't think of it.
But there is one thing that happened.
I wish my parents thought of it.
Damn!
There is... Very nice.
That was good.
There's one thing that is overshadowed in this scene. The fan theories always overshadow.
And Dan always points out when anyone ever asks.
Yeah. In this scene, although, you know, the fan theory is that Phineas' dad is Doofensmirtz, what about the actual canon fact that Linda is the reason that Doof is motivated to do what he does?
Yeah, and also at the end, Doof says, and I never saw her again.
Yeah.
And we've seen their entire interaction, so therefore they didn't conceive a child.
Yes, that.
But I did really like, and it's also very cool, that Lindana has given him the idea of taking over the Tri-State area. His entire motivation for the entire series.
Was a feisty redhead in a drive-in.
Yeah. Don't you love a good feisty redhead telling you what you should do for the rest of your life and then doing it? At my mother.
We're on fire today.
We are. We're lighting it up.
Man, I need some parental trauma so I can start cracking
jokes.
Yeah,
where are your daddy issues?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You don't want it, but it'd be funny.
Yeah, because I'm just sitting here like, yeah, I like my family. And that's not funny, is it?
And so, obviously, they didn't have kids. We were talking about something else, though.
The inspiration for the Tri-State area.
Oh, and she's like, she wants to become a pop star. And of course she is.
And she does, yeah.
With I'm Ladonna and I Want to Have Fun.
Still one of the greatest songs in this series.
Best
one
hit wonder I've heard apart from Gitchy Gitchy Goo.
Mm.
Means that I love you.
God, Gitchy Gitchy Goo's a banger.
It's so good.
Just see, I was meaning to bring this up a little bit later, but I'm bringing it up now.
Yes.
Justin Timberlake named his kid Phineas.
Which is a good
great name.
That is beautiful.
Good name.
Well done,
Justin
Timberlake.
That's the best thing he's ever done, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah. As I said in the group chat, because the reason we found this out is because your sister Ruth, who's been on the show before, she sent it to us. And as I said on the group chat, Phineas and Ferb could write sexy back, but Justin Timberlake couldn't write Gitchy Gitchy Goo.
100%.
Just saying.
Beats him 100%. All right, let's get past that scene, but I'm glad we've addressed the issue of how we feel about that fan theory.
Mm.
Good. Second one. Wait. Oh, yeah. The mum sees the weird robot thing.
Yeah.
And Candace is like, the boys built it.
And she goes beast mode.
What?
She goes beast mode. She's like, I'm going to tear these kids down.
I'm going to bring them down. And she sees it.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I'm like, this confirms the entire show, which is only if the boys make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
only
the,
if the boys
Milo
make
Murphy's
it.
Law thing. The energy that they radiate that
it's like that all positive like, and stuff.
Yeah, all the positive vibes and all that stuff. The opposite to the Milo Murphy effect. That's why she can see it because they didn't make it, so it hasn't got that magic.
Yeah, and she never sees the one that they do make.
Yeah.
Rip makes her. Sense. Like that makes some beautiful things. Like
anyway, so this machine that Doof's built after a lot of reverse engineering of hula hooping, other things. What else did it do? Waitering. No. Dancing.
You name it, it did it.
Yep. Didn't work. Is lousy at everything. But you know what it's not lousy at?
What?
Getting rid of romantic
scenarios. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call Baljeet and...
Isabella. That romantic. But that candle, too far. Too far.
But Baljeet was trying to get in. He was like...
Yeah, he was like, damn, it's funny that this... We've just landed here. And we're like, come on. We all know Isabella... is after Phineas. Like, if there's going to be a romance here, it's between those two.
But Phineas is conducting the tests. He can't be at the table.
And he really, like, he cares about Isabella, But at this point, he really doesn't care about Isabella, if you get my point.
Yeah.
But he is also like 11.
Or like 8 or 14 or whatever age we decided that they were going to be.
Keep your feel, like at that age, it's not important.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love my favorite line in the entire two episodes. Oh, in this episode, Phineas says it twice when he's addressing the gang. He says, friends, bullies, and Irving.
Why is he here?
Irving's the worst. He's not a friend. He's not even a bully. He's not worth it.
It's just his name.
I don't hate Irving. I get why he wasn't a fan favorite, but I find it funny that he's just kind of tagging along, and he doesn't have to be in every episode because of that. And I think that they should have kept him as like a more side character that pops in occasionally, because I really like.
There is one good line.
The fantastic joke he says.
That's in the next episode.
Oh, that's such a good episode.
We'll get there.
Yep.
Is he in the first episode?
But then he has four other lines. Yeah, he's in the first one. He has four other lines that just, I'd rather not have him in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so. But also, I kind of felt that way about Bajit in the first couple of episodes.
That's true. But they were finding their feet.
Yeah, I think that they warm into it. And I think it's just because they've already warmed into the series. But then Irving is new, so they haven't gotten the hang of him yet. It's like a little bit of dissonance there. But I think that
if he gets better, we'll see. I'm not a massive fan.
Yeah, fair enough. I can respect that.
All right.
What about their portable electric scanner? They just scan it.
Yeah.
They have two portable electric scanners.
They pull it out and they're like, let's reverse engineer. Who needs to reverse engineer if you've got a machine that can scan something one way and make a 3D model of the inside of it as well?
Because you can't have fun with it if it's only a hologram.
If it does that, it can tell you what the machine does.
Yeah, but you can't have it wait tables because it can't carry food because it's a model.
My question is,
you've got to build it.
Did they make this scanner or did they buy it? Because if they made it, they could sell that for a lot of money.
Can you imagine the applications in construction?
How?
You scan a skyscraper and you know how it's built and you've got blueprints and stuff.
Yeah, I guess it'd be great for pirating stuff.
Robbing banks.
You just scan and you're like, that's the weakness.
You could build a small model to test concepts on a small scale and then scan it and there's your blueprint.
3D printer sales would go through the flipping roof.
Oh my God.
Because you'd have a handheld scanner. You just scan it and then you're like, time to print it.
You wouldn't steal a movie.
No, but I would
you
steal...
You pirate a car.
You pirate the car.
Walk up to a Ferrari and be like, yeah, I'll take that.
Or a brand new white Mazda.
Talk about fancy cars that are Mazdas. Mazda 3, nice car. Would recommend.
Yeah, I wonder why you like that car.
I'm not biased at all. I haven't been sponsored because I paid my ass for it, but it's beautiful. I've got a new car.
Everyone, write into us, implicationsfinishverb@gmail.com. Say nothing else. Just say congrats on getting
your first car, Joe.
Yeah,
just
nice car.
Yeah, I'm liking 100%. Nice cars.
Because it's a very nice car.
Try and backwards compliment my Mazda 3. By that, I mean just tell me nice things. It's 2018 Mazda 3.
It's not
Go
bad.
Go nuts. It's
Imagine having a car with
car.
Bluetooth at age 19. That's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Imagine having a license at age 19.
Oh, that was a good sell for it.
Mm. Pats on the back for Zach. F.
Well, you get more time in my car, which is a good thing.
Strategic place.
Because it's a beautiful car.
What about how she just marches in to him when he's giving his presentation?
Yeah, see, this is... Little misconception. He should have just said, did you see it? And she'd be like, yes. And he's like, isn't it great for the birds? That would have ended the entire thing.
Well, no, I think she would have panicked more.
Yeah, no, because she would have been like, this is an unknown thing. And Phineas would have been like, well, we didn't make it. And she'd be like, okay, so this is some sort of
quick
bomb.
Call the Pentagon. We need to be right now.
And lock it does it down, make that baby noise.
It would be, because it's literally sitting in their front yard, large metal thing. It's beeping.
And it
call 911. The Pentagon will be there in 4 minutes. And next thing you know, they've got people with AK-47s just strolling around the house. I don't know how America works, but I'm assuming that's how.
And doing reverse engineering on it, because that's what advanced scientists do.
Advanced scientists, reverse engineering.
Anyway, so she starts taking life advice off her daughter, which, not to diss Candace at anything at all.
She doesn't really have a life together at all.
Yeah, no, this is not a good idea. I did like the bit where she's like... he just thinks I'm crazy. And then Candace is living it up because she's like, this is what happens to me. And I'm like,
no, it's I love you, but you couldn't have chosen a worse moment. You're absolutely bonkers.
I'm going to use that on someone. I can't wait. Ruth, it's coming. Anyway, I loved how it was just irony. It was so much irony. And then she just starts listening to Candace. And I'm like, it hasn't worked for Candace. Why do you think it's going to work for you?
Yeah, she's a bad role model.
And then she literally rocks up. He's flat. He's on fire on the stage. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's interested. They've all got their hands up for more questions. They want to know about this place.
He's commanding the room. And yeah. We love to see it.
And she just takes him out of
the leader of this town is a mouse.
Yeah, Winchester. Winchester? Is that what they call it? Was it meant to be like Winston?
Winston?
No, the place that we went to before with the jousting.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire, that's it.
Some say it's Worcestershire.
Yes, Worcestershire.
And other people say it's the sauce.
Ha ha.
It's a good sauce.
I have never had it.
My pop would always, he would be like, he'd get the sauce bottle and he'd walk up to the kids who didn't know how to spell things and he'd think he's an absolute comedian and he'd hold it up and go, Worcestershire sauce. And we'd be like, I don't know what that there sauce is, Pop.
Nice. Classy.
Mm. It was a great.
You know how we were mentioning how you don't have family trauma? I think you do.
Just not from his parents.
It's just from Pop.
Pop never made a good joke in his life, but God, he was funny.
Anyway, so the dad comes home and doesn't see it. Isn't pissed at all. I'd be slightly pissed. He's having a wonderful time at this presentation. Your wife's gone absolute bonkers about something you never get to see. And then you don't even get to see show off your bird thing. He never goes, this is my bird thing.
Yeah, he never gets the validation.
They never get to see him press the red button.
Good bird. Can we have an F in the chat for
F,
Lawrence?
F in the chat for so Lawrence Fletcher. Oh.
Anyway, next step?
Next step, yeah. I'm good to go.
All right, Atlantis, tell us what happens.
All righty. So, Phineas and Ferb find Atlantis. That's the general plot. A little bit more detail.
What about the sandcastle?
So, they're on the beach.
Yeah.
They're just vibing.
Yep.
Ferb bought his MacBook to the beach.
Yep.
Ferb, I don't care how much money you've made with that goddamn space bar.
Don't bring
a MacBook to the beach.
And he's just typing.
So, the most temperamental computer on Earth.
He didn't think he was going to discover Atlantis. Like, he said minimal research, which was, I've written down that line.
So who is on the beach and just stumbles across where Atlantis is?
Well,
Phineas and Ferb.
It's easy if you've got a MacBook. Just ask Apple.
The new MacBook, 4 times more powerful than anything.
Lets you discover Atlantis in half the time.
Half what time, Apple? When you're giving us benchmarks, compare them to something.
That was something, they're like, it's 2 times faster than the most bought computer ever. And I'm like, okay.
Which one?
Is that a Chromebook?
Tell us the computer. It's 4 times faster than the most bought computer ever, which is the last MacBook. Whoop-de-doo, it's slightly faster. Like,
yeah, no.
Compare it to something.
To be fair, this new MacBook is crazy.
Oh, it's a beast.
It is good. It's a beast. But they should have given us actual numbers.
If your MacBook is that good, why not just give the actual numbers?
Do it like Ryzen. Because you've got everyone talking.
I guess.
But do it like Ryzen. They literally have a graph. It's a very simple bar graph. They've got Intel's chips and then their much larger bar for their chips. Like, it's that easy.
Yeah.
You just point at it and say, look.
It's so weird to me that if you had a computer that beast, like everyone was talking after they did the benchmarks and were like, wow, these M1 chips are amazing.
They're actually pretty
good. Why would you not just say the M1 chip is this amazing? And then people would look at it and be like, holy shit.
Because even when they aren't that amazing, they say they're this amazing. So no one believes them. It's the boy who cried wolf.
Exactly. I was convinced that they were going to be bad. And then I saw the benchmarks. I was like, what?
Anyway, Danville has an ocean.
Yeah.
And a beach. So we're going to say,
I mean, it shows that it's at a coastline near Deuce Place because he's got those ships always coming. And it,
yeah.
It shows that there's a river that runs around it. In the episode with the dam.
But then there's the glacier that is no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you need
that's
area.
That's one cold beach.
That can hold the glacier, that can be land and sand and beach and ocean at any point in time.
So why don't they need to build a backyard beach if there's one down the road?
Exactly. Hawaii, that's what I'm thinking.
I
I know nothing
that
about
that. That would be a really big plot twist. If it's like in Hawaii and they just didn't show us the plane trip when they went to Mount Rushmore.
Oh, no. I was thinking, oh, yeah. Are we sure
there is no beach within a couple hours of Mount Rushmore?
My American geography is horrible. So I'm happy to say that Mount Rushmore is actually in Hawaii.
Yeah, all right, I'll buy it.
We can agree to that.
If you're an American listener, write into us and tell us where Mount Rushmore is. And if you say an answer other than Hawaii, I hope you know we'll delete your email. Just letting
yeah,
you know.
Or where Danville is, because that's
yeah,
the real
give us,
secret.
Give us your theories.
Even Jeff said it's such a wonderful place.
It's like The Simpsons.
Yeah,
in the Simpsons movie, they're like, it's the border of these four states. It's on the Quad State area of these four states, and it just mentions like four states that are nowhere near each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
tell us where Danville is.
Give us your best ideas, you know? But also, I do like the idea that Danville is never it's not meant to be one place. It's meant to be like an allegory for just generally living in. Right.
So with the magic of the MacBook, Ferb is able to discover that Atlantis is right there. He can basically point to
just
it.
Just off the shoreline.
It's just off the shoreline.
It's just the shoreline. And
East Coast? Yeah, East Coast shoreline.
And Candace
America.
Is happy about them leaving because she wants to enter the sandcastle competition, and she was afraid they would be.
They were going
to
shove her up.
She wasn't interested that they were wearing scuba diving suits and going somewhere.
No, but she knew they were going to Atlantis.
She didn't think I could bust them for Atlantis?
Yeah, no, she's like, sandcastle.
Jeremy's involved in the sandcastle.
She didn't
contest.
Know that at that stage.
Yeah. Touche. This is also the point that we get a bang in line from.
But
Irving.
I would be afraid that they would build the skyscraper with a working elevator out of sand.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. How do you build a working elevator out
How
of sand?
How do you build an elevator? How do you build an elevator out of sand?
But they didn't.
Engineering.
So
how do you build anything they build?
Yeah, exactly.
As the engineering student, this is a question for you. I don't know why you're the one asking it.
Yeah, you're...
Wing it.
Can't go wrong with that logic. That makes
First
sense
First year engineering right there. Wing it.
So, great line from Irving.
Yes.
Talking about all the things they want to do in Atlantis. And Isabel's like, I want to see a seahorse and get my underwater equestrian patch. And Buford's like, I want to see a shark. I hear they're the toughest animals in the sea. And Irving goes, I got in your mum's car when you stopped for gas.
I love that so much.
I love that he was sitting there waiting at the gas
stop.
Yeah,
he knew they were going. Well, he might have knew they were going to the gas stop, but he was just waiting.
It might have been
an
opportunity. His parents might be desperately looking for him because they stopped at the gas station and then they turned around when they were 10 minutes down the road and he wasn't in the car and they're like, oh no.
And he just jumped into the boot because all the seats would have been full.
Mm. So he's in that little
mum,
spot in the back
dad,
of the boot.
Candace, Phineas, Baljeet, and Buford. That's six. Oh, I guess if it's a seven-person car. No one wants to sit next to
Irving. But
no
one would want to see him.
Yeah, he's in the boot.
And they seem to just think that he showed up at the beach at the same time as them. So they probably don't even know. I think Irving is at his best when he's being creepy because it's something that distinguishes him from the other characters.
And it's funny.
And it is very funny.
Or using a camera in his mind that he still puts his finger over.
Oh, God.
That's a funny joke.
That hurt me. I still don't like Irving. Huge implication. This one we're going to think about for years. Like, genuine. Think this is going to change the Phineas and Ferb world.
Why
they? They don't have nipples.
You know, I didn't even notice that, but my mind's broken.
Yeah, I was just like...
They also all have the thinnest torsos you've ever seen.
And their necks, especially when it turns into a triangle head.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah, a bit weird.
But, that's the real hung-up in this cartoon world. Mm. Where's the nipples?
And not Atlantis.
You know the Release the Snyder Cut movement? Phineas and Ferb release the nipple cut.
Free the nip. All right.
Oh, that's so stupid.
So they go underwater with the masks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What do they come past before Atlantis?
Well, they're just like...
Oh, Zach wrote it down as well.
Yeah, I got this.
All right, you tell us.
You two are the identical friends.
The Titanic.
Mm-hmm. So the Titanic sank. Yeah.
That seems to be in the right spot.
Yes, not in freezing water.
Amelia.
Oh, that's the glacier.
Amelia Earhart, who no one really knows where she disappeared, so
she would have hit the glacier.
I'm pretty sure.
The Titanic and Amelia Earhart both hit the glacier.
And then
glacier.
The Temple of Poseidon, just chilling next door to all both of those.
Temple.
We
don't know where she went.
I'm pretty confident, though,
she
that the theory was she was somewhere between.
Yeah, because she left Papua New Guinea, didn't she? And then she just never really
made it. She stopped at Papua New Guinea and then she never made it out.
She broke
That means that she crashed in the because she would have stopped in America. She was doing a trans-Pacific flight, and they're on the East Coast. The East Coast is where the Titanic sank, but that's not where Amelia Earhart went down.
Strong ocean currents, boom, solved it.
She broke makes sense. The gravity's one rule. What? She went up, and she didn't come down.
I guess.
All right. So they walk past that. Oh, I did write they're very dense. You can't just walk on the surface of the water.
They've got weights in their shoes.
Have you
seen how thick beef it is? He definitely could.
They weren't wearing shoes.
I think this leads into a connected implication because we've already established that Candace is dense.
Yeah, Candace is very dense. Candace could do it no issue.
Do you think that the density of all people in the Phineas and Ferb universe is just greater?
That's why Amelia Earhart crashed.
Oh, because she was dense.
Yep, and the plane just...
And the plane didn't have enough... That makes 100%
sense. 100%
sense. I mean, all the other flights she did because she wasn't as dense at the time, question mark?
Yes.
But she was dense enough on this flight to bring it down. And that makes 100%
sense.
Anyway,
so they just walk underwater. They walk past everything.
They also see the Tomb of Poseidon.
Yep. That's like what we said.
Just chilling.
And they're like, guys, focus. We're looking for Atlantis.
Why would you not yoink the trident on that?
I'd yoink the trident. It's probably got superpowers.
Yeah. You could just go explore
Titanic.
And
it looks cool.
Can you imagine seeing Leonardo DiCaprio next to the Titanic? That'd be so cool.
Or Leonardo DiCaprio's skeleton. That's dark.
Yeah, well, if it's cold enough, it wouldn't have... The skin wouldn't have come off.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's like how people in Everest, when they're climbing the mountain,
this episode is like full of dark themes.
Yeah, I bring the dark theme. All right. Number...
Oh, speaking of which, they're deep enough down that they're at a shipwreck. They're well and truly in the ocean, but it's not dark.
And also their pressure, their heads would explode.
No, because they're dense.
Fair.
they are so dense that pressure doesn't affect them.
They go to the door of Atlantis. They give it a good knock. It opens into an empty area.
Yep.
Where a door wouldn't have been.
But why bother to have a door when you can just swim over?
And why didn't they go investigating it? They just kind of...
It could have had traps.
They never even went in Atlantis.
Well, they kind of... In the song, they were in the building sometimes.
Yeah, but they never...
They had bigger plans. They were going to bring Atlantis back.
Yeah, they weren't just there to explore. They're not there for archaeology. They're there for restoration.
They're like... Las Vegas, you're about to get one-upped.
Yeah, we're going to have Atlantis. And
Atlantis looked kind of like sleazy gambling city rather than like ancient Rome.
You know how we're going to do it?
How?
We're going to call up our friends from FedEx and they're going to ship us the helium underwater.
And we'll put it in outback Australia.
100%. That makes sense because we got space.
FedEx.
What courier company are they using?
Yeah.
I want to know. What courier
them
company?
In Australia.
Better than Australia Post.
Yeah, it's not Australia Post, let me tell you.
Because they can barely get out to my house.
We bag out Australia Post, but holy shit, they've got a hard job. With how spread out we are.
Not as hard as getting to the bottom of the ocean at Atlantis.
Touché.
What do you think they wrote down? They've got an underwater GPS. Were they given the exact coordinates?
Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that FedEx knows Atlantis is there. And it's just not profitable for anyone other than Phineas and Ferb to lift it back up. That's how they found it with minimal research. It's already been discovered. They're just finding it. They're not discovering it. So they just wrote 1 Atlantis Street, Atlantis on the parcel. And that just got delivered.
Yeah, and then the truck just drove into the ocean.
Submarine.
And sunk.
Submarine.
Was it a submarine?
It was a submarine. Yeah.
I thought it was just a truck.
No, it's a submarine.
Oh, I was imagining a truck on the...
That is a very funny visual, though. Everything's dense in Danville.
He just sat there for an hour.
Waiting for the truck to... No, everything's dense in Danville. We'll have established that. It would sink.
Yeah. Would a helium bottle sink?
You've thought too much. you've cracked the code.
Anyway, so they're like, I know what will.
They do
rise.
A lot of that. They do a lot of cartoon physics where they can bring thing. They can change the density of things on the fly. Helium, you put it in a bottle and you can carry it to the ocean floor, but then you put it in balloons and it can lift Atlantis.
And Ant-Man stole it off them. They had to get it from somewhere. It's just Ant-Man physics.
Yeah, 100%.
Just change density of things when you need them to be different.
Well, didn't Ant-Man steal it from Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, because as we've established, thank you for cutting into our deep lore. We're just handshaking here. You can't see, but handshaking. every script is taken from Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I did love the joke. And so they're like, I know how we're going to raise Atlantis. They've done some crazy stuff. They could have got pistons. They could have got anything. 4 balloons.
Weather balloons. They're big boys.
I did like how they said weather balloons full of helium. And that just rose it out of the ground.
Nice and simple.
And then carefully placed itself on top of the water for Candace's entry into the sandcastle. She should have been disqualified. It's not made out of sand.
Yeah, 100%.
Jeremy, that's not a sandcastle. Jeremy was gonna vote
Jeremy
anyway.
Was a good judge. And
Jeremy was going to give it to her regardless.
But I did like the mother's line, and I think this is something people should use in life more often.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, Jeremy's smart enough to separate his feelings from your sandcastle and from you.
That's and you important. Should be able to do that.
You should be able to do that for certain people in professional circumstances.
Yep. If you're in a professional circumstance with someone that you're dating, you should be professional about it.
Yep. And you should be able to accept that as how it is.
Yeah. What about when Isabella admitted that she couldn't actually ride a seahorse because they're too small? And then Buford has a hold my bee moment. Just grabs a whole bunch of them under his arm and then, takes off.
And then somehow they push him along, which is funny. Talking about good Buford moments, there's the bit after they've sung their Atlantis song and Baljeet's like, oh my God, I can't believe we've discovered Atlantis. People, amazing people, geniuses have spent thousands of years trying to discover this place. And Buford's like, those guys were punks. And I'm like, you didn't do shit. Ferb did it all.
Exactly.
Sure.
And also, geniuses spent all that time working on it. You guys found it in an afternoon, but FedEx found it in 10 seconds. I'm just saying.
Get one up.
When they need to deliver, is it FedEx or is it Amazon?
I don't know.
Well, no,
wouldn't our American listeners tell us?
It'd be USPS, United States Postal Service.
They have one of those?
They do. Can I just say.
Does the government pay for it or is it privatized?
No, no. USPS. Is an absolutely disgusting acronym. They're called USPS.
USPS.
USPS. USPS.
USPS.
I like saying that. I think it flows off the tongue better. It's like ALCA versus OWCA. It just flows off the tongue.
The USPS is there to deliver your bills.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford Amazon or FedEx.
Nice. But if you are from America, let us know which delivery service you think drove to Atlantis and delivered the goods to finish.
I don't want it to be Amazon because I just hate Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, no, Amazon makes way too much money.
He's a very hateable person, that Jeff Bezos bloke,
isn't
he? I only
picked FedEx because I can picture it.
Yeah.
And I know nothing else about
it. I can imagine a variation on that FedEx logo where it's like the arrow has bubbles in it.
Or it's just
like, we'll deliver in the ocean as well.
They changed the color of the logo for every different type of transport.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Atlantis they deliver? They go to deliver it to the bottom of the ocean and they're walking along and they're like 10 steps away and then they just stop. And they're like, dudes, are you coming? And they're like, no, sorry, we only deliver domestically. You're in international waters. And then they just turn around and walk off.
I'm imagining a truck that's from James Bond. And
with the submarine.
And then it changes into a submarine. That's why it was a submarine. Apart from Perry the plant removalist.
Oh yeah, lean mean gardening machine.
Lean green gardening machine. By that we mean a chainsaw and another version of a propeller. He just removes all the plants. Are we even going to mention the dude from Perry stuff? Bring it up?
He gets some really good fertilizer that turns them evil. Then they just go against him as well as Perry. Try and stranglehold them. Perry escapes with some kung fu skills. Comes back, cuts them up. Boom.
Done. Twice, Doof's traps have got him trapped in like two consecutive episodes.
Yep.
And I did like to see the revival of the Doof blimp.
Yes.
We totally forgot about the soundboard.
Yep, we've still got the soundboard here even when it's three people because we love to see it.
Yes.
I love when the blimp makes an appearance.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Especially because it's the least practical blimp you've ever seen.
Because it doesn't exactly work.
Yep, because, you know, it's as we've established, it's the entire central part of the actual blimp is part of the carriage. It's not a carriage with a balloon on top. It's literally just like a floating layer.
And you couldn't breathe in that.
Mm. My question is, how do you park a blimp?
It's funny, because the blimp, I don't think, ever touches the ground. It either explodes or
How do you land the people in the blimp?
No clue. Have you seen Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade?
Yeah.
When they have that blimp?
Yeah, I've seen a blimp in the air before. And I'm like, how'd it land?
Very large area.
Just a paddock, just out back.
They're very slow.
Yeah.
Surely it just falls to the ground softly.
Well, a blimp.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the
Hindenburg disaster?
Disaster, yeah.
Was that when the 27 Club got its like six members?
No, that was when a plane crashed.
That was American Pie. What a song, though.
Great song. Mm. Sad that it had to be written. But no, the Hindenburg disaster is when like 100 people, I think it was about 100 people, died on a blimp.
Wasn't one of the people died like Hitler's friend? Didn't he like, get like real mad?
Something like that.
Something like that.
As but, always with all history in our podcast, we have no fucking clue what we're talking about. But basically a blimp went down and it was basically the reason that blimps fell out of fashion.
Yeah.
Because they were just like, we got to have so many safety
and
regulations.
And also it's an explosive balloon. Yeah, it's
literally
a
floating a
very
bomb.
Small
it caught on fire and everyone was dead before they hit the ground. Because it's carrying around a bunch of flammable gas.
They aren't the best designs. They're funny, yeah. Stupid to watch.
Oh, they very much are. I love the idea of the wind being slightly wrong and a blimp just very slowly blowing into the pointy part of a skyscraper.
That
and just popping.
Or it rotating and just like the carriage does a barrel roll. So you're just there and it's like...
Tips everyone out.
It's good.
Yeah, they're very much not practical. We got any more implications?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, have we got any messages?
Well, no messages, but I have got a thing that I want to talk about in the letter segment. Yeah.
What?
I got sent by one of my uni friends I know you hate this because I know you hate TikToks. We got sent a TikTok.
Oh, God.
But it's a pretty good TikTok.
Is it by Dan Povenmire?
No.
That's not a good TikTok.
Touche. But also, I actually liked this one. Shout out to the MWCA, which is the Musical Without a Cool Acronym.
And they're like a TikTok channel.
It's basically on TikTok channel. In the same vein as the Ratatouille musical. They're making an unlicensed Phineas and Ferb musical.
Oh.
Phineas and Ferb is about music.
Speaking about unlicensed things.
They're like unlicensed Phineas and Ferb parody musical. And I support that.
Are they stepping on our live action movie territory?
That's a good question.
Is Tom Cruise playing Perry the Platypus?
No.
I'm slightly disappointed, but also happy.
Thank God that they're not stepping on our... Very
I also
feet.
Now want to be a part of this. Can we like
100%
cut the TikTok part off?
I've actually been in a musical, so I have much better chances than you.
I've watched a lot of Phineas and Ferb.
Touche.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there. And I love how much they, I watched the trailer for it. Like it's just basically a parody song that they've written. And they really emphasize that it's a parody so that they don't get sued by the Mouse House. And I respect the hell out of that.
That's fair.
If anyone asks, this is a parody podcast as well.
We're making parody of the Phineas and Ferb universe until we make the live action movie where
that's going to be official.
That will be officially licensed by Disney.
That's when the Phineas and Ferb band is breaking away from Disney and becoming its own media conglomerate akin to Disney.
And they'll be like, we haven't had Tom Cruise in a movie yet. Let's do it.
Yep. This is where we
have Tom Cruise. Do you reckon Tom Cruise just doesn't like Disney? Or you reckon?
No, I think
Disney just don't like Scientology.
I think it.
I say it's that one.
That and also, I don't think they like people breaking their ankles in live shows.
Disney is all about like liability and safety and like cookie cutter procedures and stuff. Except when it's their employees at Disneyland having to wear masks. Zing.
Yeah, I was gonna say coronavirus.
Yeah, they were a bit late to get.
Oh,
the
we
masks
better close. Oh wait, we're still
better. What?
Didn't they like close for a little bit and then just reopen immediately, even though people were still...
No, Disneyland's still closed, aren't they?
They're open.
Oh, they're
definitely open.
Some of them are open anyway. I don't know which ones. But it was, yikes.
It means you can go from Disneyland straight to the hospital for coronavirus. It makes it easy.
Easy peasy.
Your last breath can be at Disneyland.
Did you know, fun fact, America has a bunch of no-fly zones. There's two types of no-fly zones. There's the ones that you can request emergency access to and the ones that under no circumstances are you ever allowed to fly over or
Area
you get
51.
Shot down. Area 51 is actually the first one. You can request access to fly over Area 51. If they're not doing aerial training exercises, you can.
Nice.
All right. Disneyland, Florida is a 100% no-fly zone. You can't request access. You just cannot fly over it.
Ooh. Imagine having...
That's because Walt Disney did a bunch of lobbying and was like, I don't want anything
breaking
the illusion.
That's also because there's a guy... in a Mickey Mouse costume with a missile launcher just waiting.
Mickey's like on the stage doing the parade and he's waving and he's like, huh? And then he checks his watch and he's like, huh? I gotta go. And he walks out the back and his face just immediately drops. He's still in the mannequin costume. He whips out a bazooka that's like twice the size of him, holds it over his shoulder and he's like, I fucking dare you to fly over me. I'm gonna shoot you out of the fucking sky if you try to come over Disneyland.
It's not a no-fly zone.
To be clear, not Disneyland, California. That one's fine. Only Disneyland, Florida.
Okay, well, Florida.
Florida's the important
that's
one.
That's where he gets the bazooka from.
You know the Disneyland castle?
It's not a bazooka, it's just an alligator. He just throws it.
No-fly zone.
You know the Disneyland castle? I reckon it's a nuclear silo. I reckon the top just pops off.
Sure. And then they just... You know the entire back's hollow, right? It's not actually that big. It's forced perspective.
You would also need a nuclear power plant just to power the lights.
Oh my god!
It's hilarious that you think that Disney doesn't have a nuclear power plant just sitting under Disneyland,
just waiting. And if anything flies over it, nuclear missile. Like, they ain't mucking about.
How many power outages have Disneyland have?
I don't think they have power outages because they've got their own.
They would have so many emergency backups.
There was a good while where Walt Disney was really pushing hard the idea that he was going to turn Disneyland into a town. In the same vein as like Star City.
I'd rather
City
live there than rest America.
Oh, so wait, you could live there.
Yeah. You know what Epcot was, right?
No.
It's the world of tomorrow. It was meant to become a city.
Oh my God, right.
Its whole thing was that he was going to expand it out and do in public infrastructure and stuff. That's why it had a public transport system and restaurants and shit. Epcot was this whole massive thing and then it never ended up getting completed.
I'd do that.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't want to live in a corporate wasteland owned by Disney, but
they might have a restriction on guns, though. So better that than the other corporate wasteland that is the rest of America.
You know what? I cannot argue with that logic. Because, like, sure, the American government may let you have guns. But do you think the mouse is going to let you carry guns
the
around
children?
The only
person who's allowed guns in Disneyland is the mouse. Is Mickey Mouse.
The employees are all packing Glocks. And if they see a plane flying over the top, or they see one of the people in costume break character, Glock comes out.
just reverse any Soviet Union Mother Russia joke and put Mickey Mouse there instead of Vladimir Putin, and that's it.
It's so funny. I never get tired of Mickey Mouse jokes. It's just so...
I can imagine just a bunch of Disneyland. They're like, oh yes, show us our ticket. And then they hear a plane. And they're like, quick. They all run to the center.
And they're just shooting.
Just Glocks. They're just
like that movie, the one that they talk about in Hot Fuzz, that like old cop movie where he's just like firing at the sky.
Yeah, that.
It's that scene.
But everyone's
but all
firing
of the Disney
at this
employees
plane.
Just shooting at this plane. Try to shoot it. That's what happened to Amelia Earhart. She flew over Disneyland.
It's in Danville. That to cover it up.
Yeah, that's the reason she didn't fall in the Pacific Ocean. She went all the way over to America and she started flying over Disneyland. She was landing
Florida.
Just on the other side of Disneyland. She made it all the way to Florida because she was slightly off course or whatever. And the mouse is like, I don't care if that's Amelia Earhart. She's getting shot out of the fucking sky. And it's a little biplane, so of course they shoot it down easy. They just whip out their like nuclear powered alligator and just
feminism
start
on my
shots.
Watch. Win-win.
Oh, I love how that joke had so little to do with the show, but it was so goddamn funny.
I have cried a little.
Yeah, that was.
Talking about crying
a
little,
tangent.
I got a new phone today as well, and if you want to find out, you can sponsor me.
Yeah, 100%.
At Implications of Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, hit us up and
try your best.
Do some sponsorships. Yeah,
good luck. It's a bit of a niche brand.
If you are part of the MWCA, the Musical Without a Cool Acronym, hit us up,
please.
We will.
We want to hear more.
We want to hear from you. We want to see the musicals. We want to get involved. We want to sponsor.
We
will do everything.
We want to hit up Tom Cruise with more than just two guys behind two microphones.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
We got like 12 people behind cameras.
I mean,
on TikTok,
I don't know. If I was Tom Cruise and 12 people came to me and said, "Hey, there's a cartoon that's aimed for like 8 or 9 year olds. Do you want to be in it?"
Surely he's seen it. Surely.
Sure. Like
he is Perry the Platypus.
The man loves cinema. If Phineas and Ferb's ever played in a cinema screen, he's seen it.
He would have seen it when he went down to the vault and they gave him the idea for Mission Impossible.
Touche. Yeah. They'd be like, you can't get just from this, the whole point of this idea we're doing just from the script. You got to watch an episode. And he watched one of the episodes, like the episode where Perry goes rogue. And he's like,
damn.
Yeah, I'll do that for the rest of my life.
I wish I could play Perry. And then we're going to fulfill his role.
Exactly. He saw Perry jump off a building and he was like, do you reckon I could do that? And they're like, yeah, we can get you safety trained and we can hunt
when
we
he
drop.
Jumped
and he's
off
like,
a plane.
He's like, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. Safety trained?
Holding onto the side of a plane and jumping off barely with a parachute? That's me.
Nice. Hey,
all right, let's
I can't
wrap
believe
it up.
He did a halo jump. Yep, right here, wrapped up. If you want to write into us, hit us up on the implications of Phineas and Ferb at gmail.com.
Plug.
Or hit up the Instagram, implications of Phineas and Ferb. Or hit up the TikTok
Just hit them up.
Yeah, hit us up on everything. Yeah. Yeah, all the links are in the description. Hit up the Twitter, the TikTok, the freaking Reddit if you want, I guess.
If you really want to try.
Yeah, and
done.
We will see you in the next episode. Oh, and one more thing. I am moving house in between this and the next episode, so there may not be
this
an episode.
This kid's actually moving out.
I love
I'm
Discord.
Yeah, so there may not be an episode next week, timing permitting. We'll see what happens. But
or there may be a special one.
Yeah, there may be a special one. We'll see what happens, but...
Hey, so Lachlan here, bit of an update.
So I actually have managed to move out. I'm living in Sydney now. So that's why there wasn't an episode last week. We thought this episode was going to come out last week, and I'm coming out this week. Because I'm starting my study period and I'm still getting adjusted to living here, the episodes may be a little bit on and off. There may occasionally be a week where we miss an episode. We're very sorry about that. But yeah, we're working on lots of stuff. The podcast will continue, and we can do it remotely, so that's absolutely no worry. So yeah, that's a bit of an update about what's been going on. Yeah, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.
See you then.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.
I got the buttons confused.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb.